Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Agile Uprising podcast. We're taking an adventure in the ORSC lab series. I'm Billy Schutpeltz, and I'm happy to be the host today as we chat with a fellow member of the ORSC lab, Leslie Morse. Leslie is a business analyst by trade and entrepreneur at heart. She applies systems thinking throughout her life and has excelled in roles that dream her up as a scrum master for executive leadership teams. Leslie is passionate about culture, community, and organizational development. She looks at Agile as a vehicle for changing the world we live in and work. Welcome, Leslie. It's nice to have you here.
Hey, Billy. I'm excited for this chat today and also incredibly nervous because normally I'm sitting in the chair of host. And so, like, what you're going to do to me today is going to be a little nerve-wracking.
Well, I'd love to say that I'll make it easy on you, but I might have a little fun with it.
is this going to be disturbance's ally?
Yes, that sounds like a great meta skill to bring.
Perfect.
And I think I'll bring some crazy wisdom. How's that?
I think that sounds great. The other thing that I was thinking about is this whole idea, like crazy wisdom, disturbance is ally. Lion's roar is one of my other favorite meta skills, where like the richness in learning and wisdom comes through moments where we're uncomfortable.
Yes.
And so like, I like being in control. And so like in the host chair, you get to be in control more. And I don't have that right now. So like, that's uncomfortable.
So you're fully embracing the lion's roar.
I'm totally the lion's roar. Like, put the mane around my head.
Excellent. Well, thanks for bringing that. I love that you're in the lion's roar. I'm going to take a marker and draw that around your video. Because for everyone listening today, we actually get to see videos of each other.
Yeah, we do.
So before we get started today, I'd like to set a little bit about how we want to be together during this discussion. And we've kind of already started it. But what's your high dream for the conversation today?
What's my high dream? In the similar way that when I found Agile, I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Like when I found ORSC and the training of ORSC and the work of ORSC coaching, I was like, these are my people. And like, so converging like Agile and ORSC together, where like all these people are my people, like I'm just hoping to like work towards bridging those communities through this conversation. Yeah,
that's excellent. Thanks. What about a low dream? Do you have a low dream for today?
I've got a touch of a headache. That could be because I flew on an airplane today and I had a little bit too much wine and a little too much bourbon. And so
You're not supposed to admit that.
But I totally will. Like, I don't feel impaired, but I do feel a little like my head hurts. So I just hope that doesn't get the better of me during the discussion today.
All right. We'll take that as
total authenticity and transparency.
I love it. Okay. We'll take that as the high dream and the low dream. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And we talked a bit about the meta skills already. Yeah. So we've talked about lion's roar and disturbances ally. And I'm going to try to bring crazy wisdom. Mm-hmm. Anything else you need from me as the facilitator as we move through this?
I think curiosity, right? I think is always important when we're in these discussions. Like if I say something you get curious about, just pull on that thread.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But also like know when to redirect me because I can ramble very easily and like get on a soapbox that may or may not serve us.
Excellent. So you're going to be okay if I interrupt you.
Please interrupt me as necessary.
Okay. Sounds good. That'll keep us away from the low dream.
Yes, indeed.
So remind us how you got into ORSC. What attracted you to it?
So I first heard of ORSC through Jake Calabrese and ultimately Stephen Starkey. Jake has gone on to become ORSC certified And like I maintain relationships with both Steven and Jake. In fact, as it pertains to this Orsk Lab series that we're doing, like we're working on getting them as guests. And so it was like, oh, that's super interesting. Like I remember doing a session at, what was it? I think it may have been Scrum Gathering 2014 in New Orleans. I don't know if I've got the year right, but I'm pretty sure I've got the location right, where they did something around like your agile superpowers. And really what it was a meta skill wheel. And I was like, this is so cool. And then like, I remember sitting with both of them at two different times, like on benches overlooking like the Mississippi River as it goes into the Gulf of Mexico, talking about like their journey through Orsk training and how pivotal it's been for them. And then like all of a sudden, fast forward, like having been at Davis Space Consulting, which then joined with Solutions IQ, which then joined with Accenture, and then getting to work with Michael Holton, who was really passionate about how do we bring professional coaching into the Solutions IQ community in a meaningful way. And so he was exploring partnerships. And then all of a sudden, like, I was leading our agile training services at Solutions IQ at the time. And because Orsk training is a thing and training, like I'm having a seat at the table with Marita and Faith about like, let's do this Orsk training thing for SIQ. And I was like, okay. And yeah, I want to be part of that. And like, here I am in the middle of certification now. And it's, you know, late 2019, early 2020. And, I couldn't imagine my life without it. So it was a really long way to explain like what got me here. But what I know is like, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
Wow. What was different, like back in 2014, what was different about that session for you that compared to what you were experiencing?
I knew it was cool back then, but I'll bring in this idea of like inner development and leadership development skills. And this new thing that I've been learning about over the past couple months called action logics. Hmm. There's a great Harvard Business Review article about it, like Torbert and others that write about this idea of action logic. It's kind of like spiral dynamics. Like spiral dynamics is a thing you learn about as agilists. But if it was like spiral dynamics, but for human beings, like is the easiest way I know how to describe it. So they're called action logics. And cool. So I was, to use action logic sort of verb or a terminology, operating from like a position of expert, where like I had to know everything and be an expert, or like I was an achiever and I had to accomplish all of these things. And I just don't know as though I was at a place in my own development that allowed me to be ready for what the idea of professional coaching in systems thinking in the human sense really had to offer to me. And that's just something that has come online in really in the past couple years. There was a very pivotal moment for me when I did the Leadership 360 through the Leadership Circle in August of the Solutions IQ acquisition from Davis Base was in 2015, I think. So this had to be like 2016 sometime. And the Solutions IQ leadership team came together and we all had our leadership 360 profiles done through the Leadership Circle. And we're getting these debriefs with like Michael Hammond and Michael Spade and Michelle Mador. And I remember distinctively sitting there and going, I've been crazy successful in my career so far off of like natural talent. But if I truly want to get to the next level, like it's my own game that has to change.
That's awesome. And I love that you brought up the inner development.
Yes, because that's what it's all about. That is truly mm-hmm. what it's all about, Billy.
Yeah. And I think that's really wise that you were able to tap into that and recognize it about yourself, but then also that you pursued it. So people might have that revelation, but they don't always pursue it, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's like my new mission in life is like how to turn people on to this idea of inner development. In fact, I was just on the phone with Clive Prout, another Agile coach, right? He's Agile Coaching Institute or ACI faculty. He also does work with Michael Hammond in the new Agile Leadership Institute. And I was just telling him how like Scrum Masters are the new version of frontline managers in the new world, nice. Right? Yeah. And we know frontline managers are the one thing that keeps us or makes us leave companies we work for. And so like, if we can get in at that level and turn people on to this idea of like vertical development and inner work, like, I don't want to say who cares about the executives of today, but like, they're all going to die off. So like, let's get in with the frontline managers of today and turn them on to like all this crazy, sexy inner work stuff. So that in 15 years, like the executives of the future are like leading the company that we, you and Billy and us, I want to live in when we're like senior citizens.
I love it. I call it,
it's like an investment in our future.
Yeah. Executives of the future. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're leading us right into the three topics that you had mentioned we want to talk about today. So I'll summarize them quick as we kind of move along into them. So you mentioned intentional relationship.
Yeah.
Paper constellations and working with the emotional field.
Yeah.
And those are all some of the things that you've already kind of started talking about a little bit.
It is. You're right.
Yeah. So intentional relationship, how's this play into kind of what you're talking about right now?
Yeah. And you know, Billy, I remember when you and I recorded the spotlight episode for you for the Orsk Lab, this came up very, very briefly. Like, we're in the relationship business, right? Especially as agilists, right? We value people over processes and tools, customer collaboration over contract negotiation. Like, these are all relationship things. And if we as agilists can't be good at relationship, then what? It doesn't really matter. And so I think like, and that's part of this, like, I need to move beyond expert in agile to like expert in relationship.
That's good.
And so I think there's something about the intentionality of how we are in relationship with others that I think can make such a difference. This is where I think, you know, disruption as ally, as we talked about a little bit, is a meta skill. Technology is such a disruption in the way we are in relationship with humans today. It, in some ways, it decreases intimacy that we have with each other because we're just like words on a screen. We're not like you and I having the ability to have like video chat. We're not video chat all the time. We're not actually in a room with other people all the time. So it becomes so easy to be lackadaisical and careless with how we are in relationship with other people. But those are the fibers that bind us.
And I like that.
And what I love about ORSC, right, and that definition, organization and relationship systems coaching, is that it implies that we are always in a system of relationship throughout the world and our lives, no matter what. And so how do you get intentional about how you do that and cultivate it? Because it is an organic thing that must be tended to and nurtured so that it can flourish.
I love that metaphor of fibers, the fibers that bind us. Yeah. So what are some different fibers that you've seen as you're working on intentional relationships? Different types of fibers, maybe. Or...
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting way you phrase that. What are the different types of fibers? I guess it's more, I don't know as though I am expert enough or skilled enough yet to pick up on the different types of fibers. However, like the presence or lack of fiber is something that I'm starting to notice a lot more.
It almost like it's missing or not there.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Have you experienced weak fibers on some of the relationships?
Yeah, for sure. Like, so like the things I noticed when there is weak fiber in relationships, especially in teams, they tend to be not as committed towards purpose.
That's good. Yeah.
They tend to be, it's almost the sense of walking on eggshells in a careless manner, where they're a little bit more flippant in how they are with people versus like the care and respect that you would want from people that you're good friends with.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's just a way of being. So it's almost like the emotional field stuff. That's also something that I've started paying a lot more attention to, is like when emotional fields change or when the mood of a team changes. So like when there is lack of relationship fiber, the emotional field tends to be a little bit more tense, and there's not as much richness to it. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. And kind of what you're exposing to me as we work through this metaphor is the value that's delivered is almost directly related to the strength of the fibers in that relationship on that team, maybe.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we're always talking about process and flow, and like maybe if we organize things a certain way, we'll get more value. Or, you know, obviously with Agile, smaller chunks. But you're right that I don't think we often look towards the relational fibers of the team to deliver more value as an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And like what would be possible if for the next sprint as an Agile coach, you simply just worked with that as the topic?
Right, right.
Like what could be created?
So what are some things that you've worked on then? Like, let's say there are some Scrum Masters or Agile coaches listening or team members. Any ideas on what they could work on?
So good question. Because I'm not working directly with Agile teams as much as I have in the past. So I'm working with like internal leadership teams. Mm-hmm. And I'd say for them, it's really like revealing the system to itself, mm-hmm. like noticing when someone's voice isn't heard as much,
right.
or someone's voice might be getting marginalized. And this is where it like gets really tricky, because when you get into professional coach training, you're taught like the agenda is not yours. Like when you're truly sitting in the role of coach, it's
right.
the client's agenda. And I'm always in this position of ORSC as leader, mm-hmm. and ORSC as part of the system. So I have a stake in what the agenda is. But how do I use these competencies and these skills to reveal the system to itself when I am also part of the system?
Yeah.
So I think that meta skill, like holding things lightly.
Yep.
is really important. Like I'm finding myself becoming less and less attached to the content of my work,
mm-hmm.
and much more attached to the way it is my work is done, mm-hmm. so that it makes the optimal impact.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. And I love what you mentioned about the leaders noticing their system, right? It is about noticing different things, what voices aren't heard. Diversity and inclusion is a topic that we're talking about a lot lately in the world.
Yeah.
And is there anything you would throw out as maybe a tip and a trick for the leaders listening who want to start noticing their system better, but maybe they don't have you on their leadership team?
Yeah. What advice would I give them? I'd say, I'll channel my, not that I have an inner Simon Sinek, but,
I love it. You do, baby.
If I did, I think about something that he has mentioned in some of his talks, which you can easily find online, which is the idea of being quiet.
Mm.
And I clearly as much as I'm running my mouth in our conversation today, I struggle with that. But I really think it's about leaders slowing down and noticing what's going on around them, especially when we think about this age of VUCA, right? Volatility, uncertainty, ambiguity, and complexity, right? The things that are impacting the markets that we are operating businesses in today, it almost is forcing us against the 10th Agile principle, which happens to be my favorite, simplicity, maximizing the amount of work not done.
Yeah, I love it.
Right? Yes. And like, we just have so much going on in our head and in our lives and in our businesses. And it's just like, slow down and notice what's going on around you and check in with the people that are there.
I love that.
Like, meaning starts up, don't just jump right into the content.
Yeah. Check in, see what's happening.
Check in, see what's happening. What is present with these people today? And how can you use that to inform where you go and how you lead?
And I feel like this is a good spot to bring up one of your topics with the emotional field.
Yeah.
That maybe that check-in is the skill of learning how to tap in or read that emotional field.
Yeah, it is, right? I mean, emotional field, I mean, it's such a kind of woo-woo idea, but it's like, what's our mood today? What's going on with us? Like, how are we? Like, what's up? And it's not as much just noticing that as you're starting a meeting or starting a workshop or getting into work together. But it's like, when you're in the midst of it and some topic comes up and you're like, ooh, that like visceral thing that happens within you, right? We call it like this essence sort of shift where you're like, something just happened here. And like, I realize in the moment, I'm like, the sound effects I'm making and what I'm channeling is sort of a negative reaction, but it could be a, yes, right? It could be a very like energetic, anticipatory, creative sort of thing as well. And like, when that happens within you, the instinct is to just like immediately become Debbie Downer or like, yeah, let's go do it. And like forcing an agenda of something that's coming up for you. But really it's like, oh wow, like I'm noticing like a real shift within me around something that doesn't feel right. Like, what's going on for anybody else? Oh my gosh, this is really energetic and there are a ton of ideas firing. Like, how is everybody else feeling?
Right.
And not actually verbalizing what it is that may be going on for you as a leader, but just simply stating, like, there is a shift in my own emotional field and asking everybody else what's going on there.
Yes, I love that because it's revealing the system, but it's also giving the little bit of the power back to the system as well, by opening the floor and saying what's going on for everybody else in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think a key part of what you're talking about is the leadership shadow and the power that leaders have. So that shift that you're feeling within yourself or that the leader is feeling within themselves, to ask the system what's happening rather than just letting their rank and power influence the movement of the system.
100%. Power, rank, and privilege is such an issue in the organizations we're in today. We know that the moment that someone has positional power or positional rank, like the moment they start speaking, others like are like, well, so-and-so's already decided.
Right.
And, you know, I found myself doing that in a meeting the other day where I was like, I realized I'm having like my instinct is telling me something, but I'm not going to share that with you because I want to know what you think.
Right.
Like, I don't want to anchor us to an idea that may not serve us well.
Yep. Happens to all of us 1,000 times a day. Yep. I love that. Yep. And then, so if there's any leaders listening that are afraid they're like, maybe they don't know what to do. Maybe somebody on their team or in their org is like, oh, power, rank, and privilege. And they're like, I don't know what to do with that. I think just reflecting this emotional field back is a great starting point.
Yeah.
Start to 100%. Notice what's happening.
Yeah. And simply just asking people like, hey, like I feel like I've got like I've got a pit in my stomach all of a sudden. Like, is that just me or is that somebody else? Or, ooh, I'm getting chill bumps.
Yeah.
Like, is anybody else feeling something right now? Because, like, the odds are if something's happening for you, something's happening for other people.
Yeah. But what I just thought of was, okay, let's say someone new goes to try this, right? They've listened to this and they're like, okay, I'll try it. What if the system is like, nope, not happening for me?
Yeah.
Do they just move on?
No, I mean, that's information.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, maybe that was just me. And then just kind of like keep going.
Good.
And I mean, even if everyone else totally agrees, that's also just like information. It's like, great, we're all aligned. Okay. So like, what do we do with that?
Yes.
And just asking the question.
And what I love where my brain jumped to is it is just information from the system. It's data and we don't have to label it. Like we need to notice it and tap into it. But I love that you pointed out it's really just messages, data, information, and we don't have to worry about what's coming.
No, hold it lightly.
Hold it lightly. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you any crash and burn stories about reading the emotional field for yourself? Or success stories, either one, but.
I think my airplane headache might be getting better on that one.
Yeah, all good.
But no, but I do want to lean into that sort of question, Billy. Crash and burn around working with emotional field. I did have a team together. No, this is not a crash and burn. This is actually like a great story.
Cool. I love it.
I would say I felt like I was on the edge. Like I was doing some work and I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. So I had a group of scrum masters together that were all working for the same team and they come together once a month or for the same account. And they all come together once a month for sort of their own kind of like professional development. And so I had the honor and joy of being with them for dinner one night and then a workshop the following night. And we're doing some informal constellations and I wanted the whole thing to be around like their ability to tap into their own power for shifting the systems and the relationships they're part of. Mm-hmm. So we did informal constellations on their relationship to being able to play a pivotal role in their clients' agile journeys. And then we did sort of paper constellations on the same topic. And so the question that I asked them was, how is it phrased? It was like, how successful and effective do you want to be in aiding your clients on their agile journey? And everybody like swarmed to the middle of the informal constellation. And it was just like watching them and they're all like nodding at each other and like holding each other in their arms and like the goosebumps, like it was all the feels.
Yes.
And I was like, y'all, what do you notice here? And they're like, even though we are so different in our perspectives and our skill sets and the situations we're working in, even just within this single client, like we're all here for the same reason.
Wow.
And it's easy to lose sight of that when we get lost in the minutiae and the reality of our day-to-day work.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
And it was just like, I'll say it again, like it was all the feels all the right ways.
I know.
And so like that was a great way of playing with emotional field.
Wow.
I don't have a burn story around that right now, but that was just really, really pivotal.
Yeah.
As a facilitator and as a coach.
Yeah. And then on other episodes, we've talked about the three levels of reality. And so they kind of identified that the minutiae of consensus reality sometimes is overwhelming, but you brought them into their essence. And at their essence and their dreaming, they were aligned and they could feel that
100%.
Energy. Oh my gosh, that would have been amazing.
It was awesome. It was really, really great. I was honored.
And they can hold on to that now as they walk away. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you mentioned paper constellations. So that
Yeah, 100%. I think of all of the ORSC tools, as cheesy as it may be, I love paper constellations. And I think I love them because you can do them with just a single person.
True. Yeah.
Like once you do it, you can almost kind of do it on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's paper constellations are this idea of like drawing the system you're in, where like you have a piece of paper in front of you and there's a circle that represents the boundaries of the system, and the center of the system is the heart of the system. And you kind of go methodically around, like placing little icons or avatars into the system that represent like you and the other people and the things and the events in the system, and then your relationship to all of those. And so you get this like visual of like what things are today. And then you like shake that off, and then you draw it again in sort of its ideal and perfect world.
Yeah.
Like if you like had a magic wand and it could just be everything you ever wanted it to be, like what would that look like? And so you end up with two pieces of paper with like that you're able to look at, and then asking yourself, like, what's one thing I could do tomorrow that would make it a little bit more like that ideal state?
Yeah, I love that.
And it really puts like the power back in your own control around shifting the systems and the relationships and teams you're part of.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so wonderful.
Yeah. And actually that feeling of control, feeling like we have something we can do to influence the system, is actually really important.
Yeah. The idea of agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Agency. 100%. Yeah. Wow.
And then, so you use that with those scrum masters. How'd that go over?
It did. It was great. They were like, I don't really understand what we're doing. And like, they're like, it's kind of late and this feels boring. We're sitting with pieces of paper. But like, once we got into it, they're like, oh, I get it. Okay. I see. And so like, it's, I feel like paper constellations, sometimes like the first time you do it is never fun. But then like, you're like, after you get through it the first time, you're like, oh, I get it now. And then you're like, wait, can we do this again?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And so it's a little bit of a inspect and adapt sort of technique that you got to practice with to kind of get it right.
Right.
But it went really well. In fact, I've done it one-on-one with executives. Mm-hmm. I did it as for a leadership team, like as they were newly assembling for them kicking off, mm-hmm. not as something that really fueled cross-team conversation, but as something that was like helping them as individuals get centered. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into them really digging into what their design team alliance needed to be and what they wanted to create as a leadership team.
Wow. For the future state? Like,
yeah,
basically
yeah.
They created the plan out of all of their future states almost? Is that what
Somewhat, or just tapping into things that they realized were really important for how they work together.
Nice.
Wow. So I feel like it's a great individual tool that then can then be applied in the systemic context.
Yeah. And since we're all in the ORSC lab together, I'll throw out the fact that sometimes people want to show each other the first version of the current state of relationships. And some people feel uncomfortable with that sometimes.
Yeah.
So the many times you've used this tool, how's that gone? Like, do you usually show each other the first state?
Yeah. So I have only in one instance been in a situation where I've had people show each other their own constellations that they draw. Like, I feel like paper constellation drawing is a very personal sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And in a world where there is strong relationship fiber and safety within the team, it's easy to share it. But when there's not the right place for that vulnerability to occur, I think it's a big edge for people to cross. So like, while I didn't ask for it for this one leadership team I was working with, like they ended up organically sharing it, not the pictures they drew, but the insights they had from it.
That's a good
one. So, yeah, it was great.
Or no, I like that nuance, right? Like not necessarily the picture, but the insights. I think that's a really valuable facilitation tip. And then I love that you connected it with fibers, because I know we can't show people an example of a paper constellation right now. But as you said, you do draw the relationships.
Yep.
And you can draw a strong relationship, a broken relationship, things like that. And that really,
I know. Visualizing the fibers.
Yes. Yeah, I just connected that as you were saying that. Yeah. Like, wow, you're actually visualizing your intentional relationships.
Yeah.
From the first part of the call. So
Yes, 100%.
Makes a lot of sense that you like paper constellations.
Yes,
Yeah.
I do. I do. I love it.
I love it. Okay, so as you've been facilitating that one, just if somebody is trying this at home, any facilitation tips?
Get really comfortable with the instructions and the protocol.
Yeah.
That's key.
Good.
That's like the only thing I'll say.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I love it. Okay. So, I don't know. We're any advice that, you might have for somebody who's interested in ORSC from listening to this podcast or other ones, and, they're just starting their journey.
I'd say go in eyes wide open. This is going to change you as a human and have an impact on the relationships you're in every day. And so just be aware of the ripple effects in your life that this will have.
Cool. Thank you. All right. What about something that you now have access to that you didn't have before you started your ORSC journey?
Being better aware of my own emotions
and
my own emotional field.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Tell me more about that. Like, how's that helped you?
I think it's helped me in, how do I phrase it? It's helped me in being in better relationship with myself. I think that's the most important part. If you're not in good relationship with yourself, you can't be in good relationship with other people.
Yes. Yes. And you know, that is close to my heart, that sentence. So,
yeah.
I love that. So some of your goals for this podcast were the three topics: intentional relationships, paper constellation. I'm blanking on the other one.
Working with emotional field.
Emotional field.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say about those three before, as we're wrapping up?
No, I think we covered them pretty well.
Okay. Okay, and then I'm going to repeat your high dream and your low dream. So high
All
dream
right.
was that a converging Agile and the ORSC people. These are my people bringing the two worlds together. Low dream was the headache and the flight and all of that. So right now, are you closer to your high dream or your low dream?
Honestly, if I bring in my total somatics, like my body feels closer to my low dream.
Okay.
My brain and my heart feel closer to the high dream.
Yes.
So it's like I'm close to both of them.
Mm.
If I'm going to be totally honest, for ORSC practitioners looking to build their business, I think the Agile industry and the Agile space is an amazing place for them to invest their time and wisdom and all of those things. And for Agile practitioners that are looking to really up their game, I think ORSC training and being exposed to that coaching and the tools and the competencies is the thing that will make Agile so much more pivotal in like changing lives for human beings.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. This has been fun.
Thank you, Billy.
Yes.
Yeah, this is fun to sit on the other side of the microphone.
That's a great. Okay. Well, again, thanks for all your insights. I took a bunch of notes, so I'm going to have to go back and look up some of the stuff you talked about because those are great topics. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the ORSC Lab series on Agile Uprising. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and invite you to follow the hashtag ORSC, O-R-S-C, on Twitter to be a part of the conversation. Also, subscribe to Agile Uprising podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider so you can get new episodes as soon as they are available.